Seemed like it was slow going up today. Thank you so much, Bridget, for leading us this morning. And let's pray before we begin. Father, we're just so thankful to be here and for all your blessings, Lord. Father, I pray that as we open up your word, as we read your word, Lord, that you would speak to us, that the congregation would not hear me speaking, but Father, that they would hear your Holy Spirit speaking to their heart. May your will truly be done in each of our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I've been thinking a lot about all the snow and cold weather that we had. I don't know how many of you all enjoyed the snow and cold weather, but we're still paying for it at work, and so I don't know if it was really worth it. but you know, the looking at the snow piled up and the freezing cold temperatures, there were some things that I learned, okay? And one thing that I learned was 40 really isn't that cold. And so, you know, when it was in the single digits and everything, and we would walk outside and everything, we couldn't drive anywhere, we couldn't make it up and down our driveway, and oh my goodness, it was just a bitter cold. But what's so crazy about that is usually if it's in the 40s, I don't like to be outside even. But what happened is after we went through those single digits and those teens, one day the sun came out, and there was still snow on the ground, but with the sun shining, and I think it was probably right around 40 degrees, me and Crystal decided to go for a walk. And we walked, I don't know how far we walked, a pretty good ways. We got this little route we take, it's maybe a mile and a half that we went. And it's 40 degrees and the sun shining on us, and we were like, doesn't this feel awesome? And it's like, normally in 40 degrees, it's like, I'm not going for a walk. But after it's been 5, 6, 7 degrees, 40 degrees felt really good. And so, as I'm thinking about all this, and I was thinking about, Friday, it was like 50 degrees, mid 50s. And I froze. Well, why did I freeze Friday? Well, because Thursday it was almost 70. And so going from 70 to 50, I froze. But going from single digits to 40, I thought it was wonderful. Well, why is that? It makes no sense. Well, our body gets acclimated to a certain temperature, okay? And when you're out in it, you get used to a certain temperature. And usually at work, if it's mid 40s, I'm putting on my coveralls. Well, this week, mid 40s, I've just been wearing a coat. Why? Because I was working in such cold weather. You might say, Pete, where are you going with this? What does this have to do with anything? Well, what I see kind of happening in our world, though, is that we get so bombarded with things of the enemy and with the things of the world that we get so used to it that we're kind of acclimated to it, that it no longer shocks us, it no longer bothers us because it's always around, so we've just kind of gotten used to it. So if you would, open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6:14, he says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" You know, we often think of that verse with who you're going to marry, who you're dating, or things like that. But y'all, that's even true for us. That if you're not even looking for a marriage partner necessarily, but just the people that you're associating with, the things that you allow in your home, the things that you allow in your life, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Bela? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. But, you know, we try so hard to fit in. We try so hard to accommodate. We do it in the name of ministry and relating to people, but we've tried so hard to fit in that no longer we stand out. And what's happened is, I believe many of us have become so influenced by the world around us that we've gotten so used to it that it no longer bothers us. Just like the 40 degree temperature didn't bother me after the teens, after the single digits, and now it's like the world has become so corrupt, and the thing that they're sending into our minds through radio, through television. But we're to come out. We're to be separate. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. We're to come out. We're to purify ourselves. We're not to be like the world. And what's happened, I believe, so often is that we have become so accustomed to it that no longer are we scared of, I guess scared isn't the right word. We're no longer feeling like we need to be separated from unrighteousness, from the wickedness. But here it says, do not be yoked with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Are we standing out? Are we different? Have we separated ourselves? Have we come out and purified ourselves so that we're not like everybody else, so that people can see a real difference in you and a real difference in me? 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. I wonder how many of us have become so acclimated to the environment around us, and we don't even realize we're being corrupted. We don't even realize that it's happening to us. I heard something on American Family Radio this week, and it makes a lot of sense. And they were talking about, for many Christians, if you talk to them straight up about abortion, they'll say it's wrong. If you talk to them about adultery, they'll say it's wrong. You talk to them about homosexuality, they'll say it's wrong. When you're confronted with the main issues. But see, what's happening is they'll introduce characters that are struggling with those things that I just said in their television programs, in their movies, and they'll make the character very funny or very, very lovable. And then all at once, you're seeing these people in a different light, and you're saying, well, I guess I can understand that more. And see, what they're doing is they're filtering this garbage into our minds. Is this making sense in a way that you can relate to a certain character on television or a certain character in a movie? And then all at once you have sympathy for them, you have a kind of a soft spot in your heart for them, and then it begins to change your mind about that issue of abortion, about that issue of adultery or homosexuality or drunkenness or whatever it is. It begins to, and you don't even realize it because it's a subtle way that it's infiltrating your life. Does that make sense? And the media and the entertainment industry is constantly saturating us with this garbage so that before long, we've become so accustomed to it, it no longer bothers us. It no longer influences us. I want to go back to Joshua chapter 7 now. Way on back. Joshua chapter 7, and this is Achan's sin. Many of you are probably familiar with the story. I'm going to kind of skip through and hit the highlights here instead of reading the whole chapter. But Joshua chapter 7, verse 4, it says, so about 3,000 men went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, O sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them in their own possessions. This is why the Israelites cannot stand against the enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Church, can I tell you something? We wonder why the power of God isn't real in our life. We wonder why we don't see the great miracles in our churches and our homes anymore. How many of us have sinned? We've turned our back on God. We've done what the commandments have said not to do. But then we expect God to move in our life. We expect God to answer our prayers. We expect to see miracles of God. But all the while, hidden, we've become so acclimated to the environment around us that we're welcoming this garbage into our homes every night as we turn on the television. We're welcoming this garbage into our phones as we look at them. And then we say, God, why don't I feel you? God, why aren't you answering my prayers? God, why don't we see a move of God and revival in our country again? And I wonder if God's up in heaven saying, you've turned your back on me. You've turned your back on me. How can I move? It's you that have turned your back on me. And I wonder how many of us have become so saturated we don't even realize. I want to jump down to verse 19. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give him the praise. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. Achan replied, it is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath it. So Joshua sent messengers and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua, and all Israelites spread them out before the Lord. We can be hard on Achan and say, how could he do that? God commanded him not to. It was a direct command. But what did he say? That it was beautiful. It looked good. Man, with that silver, with that robe, I'd be set for life. And he compromised. Y'all, how many of us do that in our daily lives? We compromise just a little bit. We watch that television program because it brings us entertainment and it makes us laugh a little bit. Even though they're taking the Lord's name in vain. Even though they're promoting adultery. Even though they're promoting homosexuality. Even though they're promoting anything that stands against the Word of God. But you know what? It's funny! It's just entertainment! How many of us with our business decisions, well, nobody will know if we cheat just a little bit. Nobody will know. Nobody know if I take this. Nobody will really know. See, Achan's sin cost the whole Israelites community. And he was dealt with. Y'all, for many of us, I wonder how many of us have become so acclimated to our environment that we've allowed the things that are detestable to God into our lives each and every day, and we don't even see it. James 4:4 says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." How many of us are so engrossed in the world, in the worldly system, in the worldly things, that we have become an enemy of God? And we show up to church and we smile and we look all nice and happy, but we're empty on the inside because we're chasing after the things of the world. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. I think about this verse for many people that's been in and out of our churches over the years. Galatians 5:7 says, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? What kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you? A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough." And I wonder how many of us have been running such a good race, but then a little bit of yeast. I'm not a cook in any way. I can make an egg and that's about it, okay? But I understand that they put a little bit of yeast and with flour and different things, right? And then all at once, I remember seeing it and it will rise up. It will make it expand. Is that right? That's what yeast does. In a little bit, We'll do a big batch of dough. We'll make a big batch of dough. A little bit of yeast. And y'all, how many of us, it's just a little bit of compromise. It's just a little bit of sin. It's just a little bit. But we don't realize how that's affecting us. We don't realize how that's working into our lives. Who has cut in on you? Who has come in and fooled you and said it's okay to have this in your life? Who is influencing you? And I don't really understand it, but I hear of people, they're called influencers. Have y'all heard that term? You guys probably know more about it than me, an influencer. And my understanding is there's these people on these different Snapchats or Instagrams or whatever it is, and they have so many followers that they influence people, and they're paid by companies to advertise their product and sell different things. Why? Because so many people follow them. So many people influence them. And y'all, I see so much in our culture, and I see so much in the lives of so many Christians that we're being influenced by the wrong influencers in our lives. We're chasing after the things of the world. I want to go to Ephesians 4 and we'll begin at verse 17. And y'all, I'm going to be reading quite a bit here, and this is all so good. It's like I couldn't find a stopping point, okay? Ephesians 4 verse 17. It says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more." Can I tell you something there? If you're feeling empty right now, if you're feeling like you're not satisfied, sin never satisfies. There's always lust for more and more and more. Y'all, I've chased after things of the world. And when I got what I thought would satisfy, you know what? It might satisfy for a few weeks or a few months, but then it no longer satisfies. There's always something new. There's always something better. There's always something bigger. That's why sin so often leads people down a path, and before they know it, they're so far away from God and they're in such a destructive state, and they think, "How did I get here?" Sin does not satisfy. "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him, and were taught in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. See, the old self is acclimated to the world and the world system and the world's way of doing everything. But the new self, that now we were created in true righteousness and holiness, chasing after the things of God and the things of the Spirit. Verse 25, therefore each of you must put off falsehoods and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. You guys know people that have trouble with lying? I do. There's people I know, and when they tell me something, there's just some doubt in my mind, and I hate to be that way because I've caught them in so many lies. And they'll lie to me about stuff that don't even matter. But y'all, if you're a liar, stop. Stop right now. Begin to tell the truth. Put on the Spirit of God and begin to tell the truth. You know what? Sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth isn't easy. But we're not to be liars. Verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Have any of y'all ever been super angry at someone? And you can't let it go. And maybe you've gone to bed mad. I've done that. And I've gone to bed mad and even had dreams about it and dreams about different things. Y'all, we can't let Satan get a foothold in our life with anger, with resentment. Forgive him. Verse 28, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Can I tell you something? We're to be givers. We're to be workers and be givers. That's hard for me. It's not natural to me to be a giver. I have to fight to be a giver, but that's how I'm supposed to be. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We'll just skip over that one. That one don't really count for us, does it? Y'all, when I think about this verse, and I think about the words that come out of my mouth, and that it may benefit those who listen, and I think about all the things I say, and I think, is it really beneficial what I'm saying? Is it really building others up? Or am I bad-mouthing someone? Am I running someone down? Am I adding to a gossip chain? And so really think about this. Are you of the world? Are you in a climate of the world where it's okay to talk bad about people? It's okay to let these unwholesome words come out of your mouth? No, it's not. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We've talked about forgiveness. We talked about it recently, I believe. We have to be willing to forgive when we think of all God has forgiven us for. There's nothing that we should be holding against anyone. Is it easy? No. Have some of you been hurt in terrible ways? Yes. But give it to God. Chapter 5, verse 1, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Are we living a life of love? Not just speaking words of love, but living it out? We talked about that recently too in James, and it's not just go be well fed and clothed. No, it's love in action. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of purity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. You notice that a lot of this, just in these few verses, is talking about righteousness and holiness, righteousness in holiness. That's what we're to be. These things must not, there must not even be a hint of these things among us. Because it's not proper. Is Satan bombarding us with these things? Yes. Y'all, when you look at the statistics, it's crazy how many people are struggling with these very things in the church. Why? It's easy access. You can look at it in your phone. You can look at it with your computer. You can get what satisfies the flesh in matters of seconds. But that's not how we are to live. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk. There's the talk again. Or coarse joking, which are out of place. But rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure. Y'all don't miss this. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. The environment that we live in. Have we become acclimated that we become partners in the worldly system, in the things of the world? Verse 8 says, for you were once in darkness, but now you are in our light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. You know what? We don't have to live that way anymore. We don't have to be part of the world system. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Can I tell you something? Something else that I discovered. Not only did I discover that the temperature your body acclimates to, but I discovered something else, and this really isn't a new discovery, but with all that snow and the freezing cold temperatures, you know what happened when the sun came out? It still changed the snow. When the sun was shining on the snow, it still transformed it in some way. Either it began to melt. It was crazy because in you know, 11 degrees out and the sun shining on it, and I would begin to see drip. And in other parts where the sun was shining on it, where that soft, puffy snow that you couldn't make a snowball out of, what did it do? It became hard. It became like ice, right? The sun transformed it. Y'all, we need to step into the light and allow the sun to transform us. Not be acclimated to this world anymore, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, to be transformed, to come out of the darkness, to allow the light in our lives, to allow the light to shine on us. 1 Peter 2 says, therefore rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. How many of us are craving our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, craving the Word of God? You know, we crave a good steak. We crave Andy's frozen custard. You know, we crave a good cake. We crave even our entertainment, our TV shows and our dramas, and we crave a good movie sometimes. But how many of us are craving the pure spiritual milk of the Lord and His Word? 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. See, we're not those people anymore. He's called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. Church, today, would you expose yourself to the Lord and His wonderful light? Would you come out from the darkness that this world is so pressing in on us? Can we make the choice today to come out of the world and to desire the Spirit, not the flesh? The word acclimate, it means to become accustomed to a new climate or a new condition. And if some of you older folks, like me, are you not amazed at even just the last couple of years how much things have changed in the United States? They're canceling culture, so to speak, tearing down statues, tearing down things that, you know, what's crazy is too, the people that even seem like they were on their side, all at once they'll get attacked. And everybody's always offended now. Everybody's always upset. They're offended. They're mad. And the world has changed so much in even just the last few years. And what I see happening is the younger generation coming up, the little kids and the teenagers and those in their 20s even, and they're getting so bombarded with this that it's become the new normal and they think it's okay. Because they've been acclimated to it. But y'all, we see how sin doesn't satisfy. And in the end, it leads to death. And you know something else that happened that I just discovered yesterday about that cold weather? I hadn't really noticed, but when me and Crystal was leaving the house yesterday, we looked at the front of our house and it's like, what? Almost every one of our shrubs and bushes and plants are dead. They've been there 15, 16 years. We planted them when we first moved in, and they're every one almost is dead. It's like, what happened? It was that cold. And those shrubs and them bushes didn't have a deep enough root system, and it stayed cold for so long. So, you know, I was talking about having a work day at the church. Anybody want to have a work day at my house, we got to dig all that up. It killed them all! Because they didn't have enough sunlight. They didn't have enough warmth. And the environment got them. Y'all, it's the same in our lives. If we don't get enough sun, we don't get enough of the right influence, eventually the cold hand of sin is going to kill us. It's going to destroy us. Colossians 1:13-14 says, "For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Y'all, He has rescued us from this world. We no longer have to live in this world. We no longer have to live like this world. 1 John 2:15-17, and we're ending here. "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the craving of the sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." I heard a message this week. I really liked what he said. He says, as Christians, we no longer have to prove anything. And he says, stop trying to prove something. And you know, for men many times, that's what we live for. It's who kills the biggest deer, who catches the biggest fish, who scores the most baskets, and that's what, you know, who's the most successful, who has the best toys, who has the biggest home, and that's what we strive for, is trying to prove how worthy we are. But it says, the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does not come from the Father. It comes from the world and the world system. Y'all, let's come out of the darkness. Let's quit living like the world. Let's quit being influenced by the world and begin to sit under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and follow what the Lord says and crave the pure spiritual milk of His Word. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for what You're doing in my life, what You're doing in this church. And Lord, I pray and ask for forgiveness for each and every one of us, for myself and for this congregation, Lord, and how many times we give in to the world and its desires. May this message today open up each and every one of our eyes to see, Lord, that we need to come out of the darkness and quit allowing the influences of the world to rule in our hearts, to rule in our mind. May we not be subject any longer to the things of the world, but only be subject to You, Lord, and Your Holy Spirit. Father, set us free now. Set us free from this world and its desires. And may we truly be children of righteousness, following after You. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, I'd be happy to pray with you. If you're struggling with anything this morning, come and let me pray with you. But church, let's be set free from the things of this world.
I will serve Thee because I love Thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before You found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why You died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me.
Y'all have a blessed day. Please remember to take some veggies. You need your veggies, okay? And there's Walmart sacks back there. Load up. I don't want to take any of it home. I don't need my veggies. No, we already got a few bell peppers and stuff. But you guys, please help yourself to whatever's back there. All right. Have a blessed day.